One of the amazing aspects of God's love and salvation toward us is that it's not just simply a matter of forgiving us so that in the next life we may enjoy the benefits of salvation. But just as God causes His kingdom to break into this fallen world now and to begin to act like leaven and to transform the world into His kingdom, in the same way God causes the salvation that we shall enjoy fully and in a perfect way in the future, He causes that to break into our lives now so that we begin to experience now all the joy and the peace and the love that are part of God's salvation. Now you can see even David speaking of this in the Old Testament in the well-known Psalm 23 where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He talks about the fact that God causes His cup to run over, to overflow with God's blessings. But where is it that God prepares a table for David? He says, "You have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies." In other words, David is in a fallen world. He's still a fallen man. He's still dealing with all kinds of vestiges of sin and opposition and enemies without. But he says that God has brought his salvation there. And right there, David has a table, a banquet table prepared for him by the Lord in the midst of all this. And in the midst of that, God causes his cup to overflow. And so as the Catechism tells us, we have now the assurance of God's love. In Romans 5, verse 5, Paul says, "Our hope in Christ, the Christian hope, does not disappoint." You know, that's always the danger when we hope for something. It's the possibility that it may not come to fruition. Our hope may be disappointed. Paul says the Christian hope does not disappoint. Why? Well, he says because already the love of God has been poured out. It's been deluged out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. In other words, one of the members of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in us. That's called commitment. That's called the hope will not disappoint. In other words, Paul's point here is that, look, God through Jesus on the cross and in His resurrection and the pouring out of the Spirit, God's already done the hard part. What's left is the easy part. If God, having done all the hard part, is He not going to do the easy part? Of course He is. And we have peace of conscience, Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith," in other words, God the judge has already entered the verdict concerning us. And that verdict is that we are perfect and righteous in Christ. That has already been pronounced. So having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Though we continue to be sinners, we have peace with God because of the work of Christ. We also have joy in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 14:17, Paul is dealing there with the Christians, and he's dealing with them. Some of them, you see, at that time were Jewish Christians who were still keeping the dietary code and so forth from the law. And then you had Gentile Christians who are walking with God, but they aren't keeping those things, and it would lead to different conflicts and so forth. And he's making a point to them, so he says, look, the kingdom of God does not consist in eating and drinking. Now, he's not going Greek on us here. He's not saying, look, God's concerned with spiritual, ethereal things that don't connect to this world. And in fact, what we see in the Bible is that God, in His love, in His grace, in His creative energies, He is always moving from the non-material to the material. And I think this is why C.S. Lewis said that he thought that heaven would be even more solid than earth. In other words, it's even more incarnational in terms of the glory of God. But what Paul is saying here is that, look, the essence of the kingdom is not found in what you eat and in what you drink. It is found in its essence, rather, in the righteousness, that is, faithfulness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said that's the essence of what makes the kingdom go. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the first instance. And so that is something that we experience now. We also experience increase of grace. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Peter tells us as Christians to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he's not saying that God is meeting out grace to us in a little spoon or in a little thimble and we only get so much. No, we're already swimming in grace. It's like a vast ocean and we're swimming in it. But we can only take in so much at a time inside ourselves, and we are to grow in that, and we're also to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, perseverance to the end. Now, this does not depend upon us. Now, we're involved in this, and we're called to love God. We're called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're involved, okay? We're actively involved. But ultimately, if any aspect of salvation has to rest completely on us, we're done. We're done. Because no matter how strong a Christian we may be, at different points in the course of our life, the bottom line is, if it was left to us, we would wander right off the path. That's the truth. It's like C.S. Lewis, I think it's in The Horse and His Boy, where he's traveling, he's riding on his horse, and there's this deep fog, and he can't see anything, and he hears this breathing beside him, and he's terrified because it's this breathing like of this massive wild animal. Well, later in the story, he comes by that path again, and he sees now, because the fog is gone, and he can see he was traveling on a path that's very, very narrow, and he's on the side of a mountain precipice the whole way. And he's about to fall off. And what has happened is Aslan has come. The lion is walking alongside him. He's hearing Aslan's breathing. Aslan's keeping him from going over the edge. Now, we have different times in our life where the fact of the matter is that's right where we are. But that's what Christ does for us. Paul says in Philippians 1:6 that he's confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter 1:5, Peter says that we as Christians, we are kept, we are protected, we are sustained by the power of God unto salvation. God, the same one who caused us to be born again to a living hope, is the one who keeps us and sustains us. And I think it's a good idea, as Christians, in the times where we are walking with the Lord strong because of the grace of God, and when we are praying in those times, pray for the times when you're going to be clueless. Pray for the times you're going to be walking along that mountainside and the precipice and you're clueless. You don't even see where you are. You don't even see what's going on. Pray for God's sustaining power in those times, even if he's just hedging us about to keep us from falling off the edge. All of these are our blessings in Christ, and we get to experience them now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.